Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Welcome, friends. I'm so glad to have you here today. I have a random question for you. Do you ever get weary? Here we are at the start of a fresh new year, yet life has beaten many of us down already. Rather than a New Year's party, it's more like time for a pity party. Is that where you are? How many of us have made New Year's resolutions that have already fallen flat? I recently announced that my word for the year was victory. Unfortunately, the enemy heard that too, and he's done everything but throw the kitchen sink at me to help me not to feel that victory and embrace it for the new year. Oh no, not so quickly, Satan. Part of believing the gospel is that we have an answer for seasons in our lives where we feel spiritually dry and weak. We don't earn our salvation. We're not saved by how great our faith is. We are saved by faith in our great God. When we get discouraged, our great God is gentle. He takes care of those who are struggling. A bruised reed he will not break. Jesus Christ drew near to the hurting so that they could be saved and restored to God. We can find mercy, grace, and comfort in his arms when we get discouraged. In Galatians 6:9, Paul encouraged the church at Galatia to keep going, even though they might be discouraged. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." The King James Version says, "If we faint not." How many of us have felt a good fainting coming on when we get discouraged? Some versions say, "If we don't lose heart." If anyone had a right to feel discouraged, it would be Elijah. Elijah had just had a big victory. Israel had spiraled down into idol worship and wicked practices, and they were following a false god named Baal. God withheld rain as a way to wake them up from their disobedience. King Ahab and his wife Jezebel were leading the charge towards Baal. But God raised up the prophet Elijah, and Elijah called the people back to faithfulness. This led to a showdown at Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal and Elijah faced off. Whose ever God would respond by sending fire from heaven to burn up the offering on the altar would win. The prophets of Baal danced around, cut themselves, and cried out to Baal, but there was no response. This lasted for almost a full day. Finally, Elijah said, "Okay, it's my turn." So he took his turn at the altar, poured so much water on it that the ground was completely saturated, and water pooled up around the altar. Elijah wanted to make sure that no one doubted that this was random chance. He wanted them to know that God was going to light the fire. Then Elijah called on God, and God responded by sending fire down to consume the offering. The people of God repented, and then there was a massive slaughter of the prophets of Baal. You would think the next thing would be Elijah rejoicing, riding off into the sunset, because he had been part of this major defeat. But that didn't happen. What happened? He got discouraged. 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Jezebel was King Ahab's wife, and she hated Elijah with a vengeance. In verse 3, it says Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now it was 100 miles just to get to Beersheba, and then he went a day further. Verse 4 says he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. You see, Elijah was weary, and this was as close to fainting as he could get. In verse 5 of 1 Kings 19, it says, "All at once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night." Our big God is one of compassion. He didn't condemn Elijah for his discouragement. He didn't condemn Elijah for running away when Elijah could have stayed there and believed in God's protection for himself. But he ran. God didn't condemn him for that. Instead, he sent an angel to feed him and take care of him. That's the kind of God we have, full of mercy, compassion, and love. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected my covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Isn't that just like us? The Lord knew full well all that had happened to Elijah. But Elijah told the Lord, just like he didn't even know it. Then he told the Lord that he was the last one left. He was left all alone. We all know that couldn't be farther from the truth. The Lord tells Elijah to go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. First came a great, powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. Then an earthquake shook the ground, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake either. After the earthquake, there came a fire, but again, the Lord was not in it. After the fire came a gentle whisper. The gentle whisper was the Lord's. Elijah heard it and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. Today's world is a wilderness noisy with storms, battles, heartaches, and troubles. At times, the sound is deafening. We can be so distracted that we can't hear anything else. And when we close our eyes in our beds at night, our minds race and the noise keeps us awake. How many of you can relate to that? I sure can. We hear the roaring winds of change blowing through our lives. What's going to happen with this new year? With our country? With our finances? With our health? We don't know these things, but God does. Things seem hopeless at times. That is, if we take our eyes off Jesus. There we go, trying to be in charge again. We hear the rumbling, shattering earthquakes of relationships deteriorating, and the crackling fires of trials that seem to burn on and on. On our minds are our kids, our spouses, our parents, our jobs, and our futures, and the guilt of the past. During the day, we yearn for answers, but with our focus on the crises, it doesn't seem that we can yell our questions loud enough for God to hear them over the noise. So often we don't try. Does this sound familiar? The truth is, we want to fix things ourselves. That's what we do, right? Especially as women. We want to make our troubles go away. We want to make it all better for our families and friends. Sometimes we ask, "God, why aren't you helping me? I have my hands full here as I fight these battles." Aha, there's the problem. The battles are the Lord's. We try to fight them ourselves. We're not equipped, and it leads to discouragement. We keep on trying to wrestle down the storm, trying to muffle the noise. There just has to be a better way. Could it be that we're missing something? Why is it so hard? James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." That's it. The Lord is there waiting to help us, but He's probably not going to respond to our shouts or demands, but rather to our sincere, humble plea. We have to earnestly seek our Savior. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Sometimes we have to stop, steal away from the chaos, and find a quiet place. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. That's a quote by Max Ehrman. We need to go and stand at the mouth of the cave like Elijah did. There we can enter into the presence of God and find the answers, rest, and peace that we need. Our problems are only hard for us, not for Him. Hopefully, we will learn to seek Him sooner than later. Without the Lord's help, it's way harder than it has to be. We have a loving Savior who so wants to help us. The mistake we sometimes make is that we miss the whisper because we're busy screaming back at the noise, trying to do it all on our own. Have you ever heard that if you want to capture someone's attention, whisper? Well, that's how it is often with our Lord. While He's definitely able to get our attention in the storms, earthquakes, and fires of life, He often chooses to talk to us in a tender whisper. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord is all about having a relationship with us. He loves us so much that He wants to spend time with us in the quiet place where we can enjoy His presence and He can enjoy being with us too without our being distracted. He is a jealous God. He doesn't want to compete for our attention. If we'll just turn away from our problems, go to the mouth of the cave, earnestly seek Him and listen, the next thing we might just hear could be a whisper in the noise. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway." It's okay to get discouraged, but it's not okay to stay there. When we are discouraged, we have someone closer than a brother that we can turn to, and He's right there, providing us comfort and everything we need, even provides things that we don't know that we need. The Lord cared for Elijah. Then He spent time in the quiet with Elijah. Elijah was called, so as soon as the Lord met his needs, He put him right back to work. In verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." So, there you have it. God's always working a plan. Sometimes after we've had our greatest victories come periods of the greatest discouragement. Our Father is a loving God who nurtures us and gives us what we need. He brings comfort, provision, counsel, and then He puts us back to work. And while we feel sometimes that we are all alone, we never are. First of all, we have a loving Father who's right there with us. And secondly, just like in verse 18, there are other brothers and sisters who are serving and struggling just like we are. Yet He reserves us and He preserves us and pulls us back together with those who can encourage us. We are the hands and feet of God, and we can lift up each other as well. Last week, I shared with the podcast that my word for the year is victory, and I claimed that I would turn my battles over to the Lord. I have a renewed resolve for that now. Sometimes when I'm gung-ho, it means I'm trying to do things in my own strength. I should always know better, and God has used this podcast to remind me how very much I need Him. In this new year, let's remember that it's okay to get discouraged with serving the Lord, but if we'll just hang on, there will be a harvest. Sometimes we come up against great adversity. The enemy wants nothing more than to shut us down. Of course, sometimes that's how we know we're on the right track. If the enemy doesn't pursue us, then maybe we're not working hard enough for the Lord. As we enter this new year, it's my prayer that we will all take time to be still and know that He is God, that we will not get discouraged so much that we quit. God is faithful, and He walks with us, and when He calls us, He will equip us. May God encourage your heart to fight the good fight, to keep the faith, to seek Him when you get discouraged, and to listen for that whisper in the noise. No matter what the new year brings, we know who's in charge, and that's our Heavenly Father. May you always find grace in the wilderness in 2025. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.